This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Daniel has lived his entire life in exile under multiple kings and kingdoms. He has served God faithfully while also serving in these kingdoms. Now, nearing the end of his life, he's received multiple visions about Israel's future, and he's overwhelmed. Today, Pastor Sam Hort will continue a sermon titled, The Unseen War Around Us, from Daniel chapter 10. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
So what are these five realities that God has placed in this text that will strengthen us in the day of battle? What is it that he has put here that will stabilize us when the ground beneath our feet shakes? What is it that he has put here that will encourage us and help us to continue believing when everything around us challenges that belief? And I think there are five things. The first thing that we see here is in verse 1 of the text. And I could sum it up this way: as we think about this unseen war that we're about to find out about, the first thing that I think is in the text is this. We could say it this way: faithfulness is more difficult than we ever imagined. Faithfulness is more difficult than we ever imagined. Listen to the text. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. We haven't heard that name since Daniel 1. I mean, all through the rest of the book, Daniel has, or 1 and 2 rather, all through the rest of the book, Daniel has been Daniel. We've been referencing him by his Hebrew name, which means God is my judge, or God is my champion, God is my deliverer. But all of a sudden, we're reintroduced to this name. And I think the reason for that is that God wants us to connect what we're about to read and understand all the way back to the dream that God gave Nebuchadnezzar. And what we're going to discover in Daniel's long life in this pagan place is that faithfulness is more difficult than we imagine. And here's what's counterintuitive. We would think that the longer you are faithful, the more easy faithfulness becomes. And it's actually the opposite. It's actually the opposite. Daniel receives a word, an unexpected word about an unanticipated circumstance, and when he understands the word, he finds himself theologically confused. He doesn't understand what is happening here. He's spiritually grieved over what has happened to his people, and he's just spiritually exhausted. And you and I find ourselves in that way. So what was it about this word that made faithfulness difficult for Daniel? And it's the same thing in our life. The same thing that made faithfulness difficult for Daniel is what makes faithfulness difficult for us. Daniel found faithfulness difficult because of unanticipated opposition toward God's people in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. That's a really important date. We noted that these visions that Daniel receives in the book are dated. He gets one in the first year of Belshazzar. He gets another in the third year of Belshazzar. Last week, we looked at chapter 9. It was the first year of Darius, Cyrus. And now, 2 years later, he gets the final vision, which goes all the way through chapter 12. And in this introductory section of that vision, it's dated for us. We know that it happened in the third year of Cyrus. Now, why is that so important? Well, you may want to write next to verse 1 in chapter 10 this reference, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 22 through 23. And that's your homework this week. I want you to go home and I want you to read that text in light of verse 1 of chapter 10. That text comes at the end of the second book of Chronicles, and it tells the story of what happened when Cyrus was king. God moved in his heart, and Cyrus issued a decree that allowed Zerubbabel and a whole group of Israelites who were in Babylon to return to the land to rebuild their temple and to reestablish the worship of Yahweh. And he didn't just give them permission, he gave them protection. And he didn't just give them protection, he gave them resources to do it. It was a glorious moment. Daniel had waited for this moment his entire life. If you go back to the end of chapter 1, we are told that he remained until the first year of Cyrus. That was an amazing moment, because when the first year of Cyrus finally arrived, some 60 plus years later, at the very end of Daniel's life, the thing Daniel was waiting for happened. And Cyrus issues this phenomenal decree, moved by the hand of God. And all of these people, under the leadership of Zerubbabel, go back to Jerusalem to build the temple. Well, they get back, and what they discover is that the land has been filled up with the people. And when they come back to start rebuilding the temple, there is this fierce opposition. And it brings everything to a grinding halt. And all of this comes back to Daniel. And he is confused. How could this happen? How could this be true? I mean, God, you moved in Cyrus's heart. You did something that only you could do. You moved in his heart, not just to let the people go. This isn't a Pharaoh reluctantly letting the people go and the people having to plunder Egypt to get the stuff they need. This is you moving in the heart of your servant Cyrus, just like Isaiah predicted hundreds of years ago. God, you're doing this. It's amazing. And then all of a sudden, there's opposition. And it stunned Daniel. Faithfulness is harder than we think, because when we set about to do something for God, there is always opposition. Always. It was hard because of unmet expectation. Daniel says the word was true, and it was about a great conflict. The word conflict in the text before us is the word for war. Daniel got a word, and the word was true. In other words, Daniel is assured that this word he's getting from God is actually accurate. It's true. It's reliable. This is what's going to happen. And Daniel, I'm giving you the big picture here. What is going to happen in the life of Israel is a great war. And by the way, the text we read this morning from the Apostle Paul tells us that the same thing is true about us. Why would we need to put on the armor of God if we were going to a recreation center? You know, we might need it if we were going to a battlefield, but why do we need it if we're going to hang out at a playground? We need this armor of God that Paul talked about, because he tells us that we are called to live life in a war zone. And we're called to live life under fire. And the enemy that is coming against us is an unseen enemy. And just because you can't see it with your eyes, don't for a moment think that enemy is not real. Paul tells us there are principalities and powers and cosmic forces of evil in the heavenlies. There is a realm as real as the realm that you and I live in. Don't think of heaven as this place somewhere in outer space that's way out there, and it's really not something we think a lot about, because actually we live in this realm, and when we die, we're going to head up there, and then we're going to hang out there, and we're not real sure what's up there except God and Jesus and angels and our grandmother or whoever else, you know, we think about up there. Oh, and there might be some clouds and a harp or two, and if you like harps, that's a great future for you. But if you're like me and you don't really, I mean, it's not like I don't like harps, but I'm not a harp guy. And so what am I going to do? Hang out there and like just hold it and just, you know. And that's how most believers think about heaven. I'm being sort of exaggerating here. You probably have a much more theologically robust view of heaven. But the scripture all the way through talks about a realm in which the throne of God is, in which all of the angelic beings that God created exist, and we are given little insights into that throne room from time to time. And one of the things we discover that shocks us is that there is presently a cosmic battle that is going on in that realm. You can kind of see the history of that battle, the long history of that battle, sort of summed up for you in Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 7, where you see actually this war described for you in very plain terms. And it is those forces of evil that have arrayed themselves against the forces of God, the forces of the kingdom of righteousness, that are engaged in this conflict. And this conflict in that realm spills out into this realm. And you and I experience it. Have you ever sensed opposition that you couldn't quite understand? You just felt like there was opposition. You just felt like there was something against you. And you were trying to figure it out, you were trying to understand it, you were trying to identify it, and you could almost get there, but you just couldn't get there. And I want to suggest to you that this is what Daniel experienced, and God said to Daniel, in the history of your people, there is going to be a great and extended and prolonged war. Daniel was expecting the opposite. He was expecting now that the captivity was over and people were going to go back to the land, that it would just be a short while, the city would be rebuilt, the temple would be reestablished, the sacrifices would come back online, and Messiah would show up, and this glorious kingdom that God had told him about in Daniel chapter 2 and again in Daniel chapter 7, and the Son of Man that was receiving a kingdom that he was going to give to his people, all of that was about to happen. In Daniel's mind. And you might have thought something similar when you became a Christian. Now that I'm a Christian, now that I've turned from my sin, now that I've repented, now that I've embraced the Lordship of Christ over my life, everything is going to be fixed. It's going to take a little while. It may take a week or two, but my marriage is going to be better. My kids are all going to turn to Christ. All the damage that I did because of my disobedience is going to be wiped out. And of course, we have texts in the scripture that talk about the years, the locusts, aid are going to be restored to us, and praise God, all of that is true. Do you believe that? I do. And then all of a sudden, we read Paul, and he says, hey, wait a second, where are you going? I mean, what do you mean, where am I going? I'm going to the kingdom. I mean, he's awesome. I mean, God rules. Didn't you read Daniel, Paul? His kingdom matters more, and he's here, and it's going to be awesome. And Daniel says, well, where are you going without your armor? You're going to need that. Why am I going to need armor? This is the kingdom of righteousness. This is the kingdom of peace. This is what we read about in Isaiah 9. The lion's going to lay down with the lamb and all that good stuff in Isaiah 11. And so why do I need armor? And Paul says, whoa. Okay, hang on, let me explain it to you. You see what I'm saying? We find ourselves in our day where Daniel was with unmet expectations about God's purpose. And there are unexplained delays in terms of God's promise. Daniel is trying to figure all of this out, and you can see it in verses 1 through verse 6. And he's trying to understand how all of this comes together. And all through the book, there is this, or through the chapter rather, there is this emphasis on understanding. Look at at the end of verse 1. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. Look down at verse 11. And the angel says, Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words. In verse 12, you set your heart to understand. In verse 14, I left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is about to happen to your people. And then in verse 20, after all of this understanding, the angel says, now, Daniel, do you know why I have come to you? And so here are unexplained delays that Daniel is coming to understand. And as this understanding comes into play, it shatters his expectations. Instead of a grand and glorious return to the land, there would be ongoing opposition and insurmountable difficulty. Instead of a physical, established, glorious kingdom over which Messiah would rule all of the nations, there was going to be a lengthy period of time, centuries of time, where these nations would continue to rule over Israel. and all of these expectations about God's promises and all of these unexpected delays shattered Daniel. What do we do when we find ourselves kneeling next to Daniel with our own shattered expectations? I mean, what do we do when there are unexplained delays in what we thought God promised to us? What do we do when God doesn't meet the expectations we had? And those weren't our own selfish expectations. They were expectations we got from verses of Scripture. Like Daniel had expectations from verses of Scripture. And those expectations don't come to pass. What do we do? Well, here's what Daniel did from his place there in the dirt. He grounded himself in the thing he knew, and that is God rules. God rules. And then he prayed. And that's the second thing I think is in our text. Faithfulness is harder than we anticipated. Prayer is more vital than we realize. Prayer is more vital than we realize. Look at verses 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself for a full 3 weeks. Fast forward to verse 12. You get an angelic visitor who is going to be the answer to what Daniel was crying out for. And he said, "Fear not, Daniel," this is in verse 12, "for from the first day you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard." Who heard them? God. "Your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." It's stunning, isn't it, that God would hear and answer the words of Daniel? I mean, one of the most beautiful things in the chapter for me is in verse 12. "I came to you, Daniel, because of your words." Here is an angelic warrior fighting for God in a cosmic battle. He is in the heat of the battle, and all of a sudden, God interrupts the battle and dispatches this warrior angel to go and minister to a tired, hurting, confused servant in Babylon. And the reason he does it is because he heard Daniel's words. I mean, folks, do you realize that God hears you when you pray? There is something unusual about prayer, because when you pray out of the kind of heart that Daniel prayed, God hears and God acts. And it shouldn't surprise us, because we are his children. Think about what happens when your son or daughter is deeply wounded or deeply hurt or deeply discouraged and at their end of their hope, they're at their end of their life, and they say to you, "Dad or Mom, can I just talk?" What do? You listen. And all of a sudden, there's something that comes up in your heart as a mom. There's something that comes up in your heart as a dad, and you want with all of your heart to do something to make it better. And oftentimes we can't. We don't have the ability. We don't have the resources. We just can't. You realize your Heavenly Father's never in that spot? He's never there. When you cry out to God out of the depths of your confusion and your exhaustion and everything else that's going on, when the dreams you had are shattered and the reality that you thought was coming isn't, and you cry out to God, God hears. And his father heart responds. And he's not limited by the lack of resources. He's not limited by the lack of strength. He's not limited by ability. He's not limited by authority. And he sends this angel. But notice also, as Daniel prayed, that the kingdom of darkness opposes and hinders our praying. Look at verse 13. The prince, or the leader of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. We're given some insight into this angelic force and this war that is going on in heaven. And the angel talking to Daniel was engaged in conflict with the opponent, his opponent in the other side of the in the other army, the evil army, and they are related to Persia. And for 21 days, there was opposition. And he couldn't come until Michael, the angel in charge of God's people, came to render him assistance. You know, sometimes sin hinders our prayers. Sometimes our prayers are hindered because of our sin. 2 Peter 3:7 makes this very clear. But sometimes our prayers are hindered because there is spiritual opposition to them. And there were 21 days, three full weeks, where Daniel's prayers were hindered. Now let me stop here for a minute, because I introduced something, and I want to make sure that we kind of put ourselves under the Word, and we don't go where the Word doesn't take us. When we talk about a cosmic battle and spiritual forces, and an angelic warrior over Persia, and another one on God's side fighting with that, and then an angelic archangel over God's people Israel, there are two dangers I want to make sure we avoid. First, I don't want us to go beyond the legitimate stated boundaries of a text like this. And secondly, I don't want us to minimize the reality that is being introduced by a text like this. We are told that there is a mighty conflict, a war, and we are introduced to the fact that that war is going on in a realm we never anticipated, a heavenly realm, a realm that is every bit as real as the realm that you and I live in. And the text makes that clear. In that realm, there are armies arrayed against each other. The word hosts of heaven, the word host is an old English word for army. God has spiritual beings that comprise an army. The devil has spiritual beings that comprise an army. There are angelic armies that are arrayed against each other, and they are engaged in a prolonged spiritual war. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 17 makes this abundantly clear. The focus of that war is on a particular nation, and it's not the United States. It's Israel. Anytime you see this war going on between these two armies, the focus of that war on earth is always Israel. And you can see that in chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Daniel's early visions reveal that all of human history from his day forward is really going to be about four nations and their relationship to Israel: Babylon, Persia, Greece, and the two iterations of Rome. And those four nations are going to be focused in on God's prophetic calendar because of their relationship to Israel. And this text reveals that there are angelic beings, warriors on both sides, who have unusual ability to shape and control the actions and the thoughts of the leaders of those four nations. The Bible reveals that there are angels who are associated with this in this way with Persia and Greece and Babylon and Rome. We see angels delivering during the kingdom of Babylon from the fiery furnace. We see demonic oppression in the kingdom of Rome during Jesus' day. Revelation talks about the intensity of demonic attack and satanic opposition in the final iteration of the Roman kingdom. And so when you see these angels and these armies, they are typically tied to four kingdoms, and the four kingdoms are always doing something to God's nation. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, that's all we know.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker is Dr. Sam Horn. He's the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, come join one of our morning worship services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. every Sunday. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about today's message or about Palmetto Baptist Church, reach out to radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billieu. Join us again next time, so together we can grow in grace.